Paul hauled canned milk for Widmer's for, he started without driver's license when he first hauled for Widmer's.
I was about 15 years old, and I was home, and my grandmother died. My dad used to haul the milk. And then he wanted to go to a funeral, so I started hauling milk. And about 6 months or so, I immediately got a hernia. And my mother put a stop to that. Her family was not, they didn't like to work farm work on Sundays. That was to go to church. So that was one of the things that was a 7 day a week job. So I quit and she wouldn't let me haul no more. So then my brother came home and he took over the milk route and I went to work a farm out here, 175, for 3.5 years. And then there was no future in that. I wasn't really a good farmer, you know.
You don't have to hold those.
So, and then I quit and I went to the farmer's co-op at the station, which was a feed mill. And I worked there 3 years, and then my dad had the same problem I have. He couldn't walk his legs. He asked if I wouldn't come home. So I went home and immediately got
drafted
at 24 years old. My dad was born in Stone Bank. My grandmother, and he was the first one of their children born in Stone Bank, and then they came to the farm where that big one is now, with them 2,000 cows.
The Schmidt Farms.
They all say the farm was 80 acres. It's 80 acres of concrete now. The whole thing is but beside the point. But that's the way it worked in those days. When I came out of the service, I was in Korea 2 years, Japan and Korea, 2 years. These people from the brewery, these two women that we, that, and the brother that owned it, she came out. I was born about 1.5 miles from here, so I never got too far from home. Of course, we were to other places, and she wanted to know the person that was taking on that farm where the trailer garden is now was leaving. And they needed somebody to take over because half of the cattle were theirs. So, you know, not knowing any better, I did it. Because their jobs were hard to get in 1952, except on a farm or something like that. The factory jobs were just more or less starting to open up. But I went on that farm, not even, you got had at least have a manure fork, wouldn't you? I didn't have a thing and took that farm over. But I had a $4,000 in the bank that I saved. When I wasn't in the service in Korea, I sent home $50 every other month. And that's what we got, I think, about that time, about $50 a month in the service. But then I started farming there. I was there 5 years alone. And then met her, then we got married, and we're going to buy that, and it didn't pan out, so we ended up buying this. So here we are. But when I was about 10 years old, I learned to drive a tractor. And the first tractor was a brand new W30 International Harvester on steel that my dad bought. I learned to drive on that. And then, a couple of years later, we had horses too, but that went out. We got another tractor and that. But then by that time, I was on that farm already. And ever since that, we're here. And, you know, I remember when we first started hauling milk, after I came out of the service, there were 50 farmers and 4 trucks. My brother had a truck, I had a truck, and Jim Widmer drove one. And there were 50 farmers, and those 50 farmers, now when this bulk milk started, ended up with about 5 big farmers, the last one. I think now there are really only 3 or 4. But anyway, these 5 farmers had more milk than these 50 had. We had two farms had three cows each. They were 20 acres. And now, you know, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Here we are.
And doing hay, it was all pitchfork stuff.
Loose hay.
My dad bought the first mechanical chopper that he pulled with a tractor in the neighborhood. But I was already working on that farm out here. They only had horses and one tractor. But when I worked at a co-op, I hauled livestock, I hauled coal, I hauled grain, I hauled whatever there was. And so when I got into the service in the Army, the first thing the commanding officer, everybody went in front, had to come up, and they wanted to know what you did before you came in. So I was a trucker. So I got put in quartermaster, and that's quartermaster, food, clothes, gas, fuel, oil. We had only one or two trucks that had a refrigerator unit in. I ended up with the first day of a quartermaster 39, and that's the one I had 2 years later, even though I spent in all about 19 weeks in hospital. 150 men was total quartermaster. And you always have a couple that never grew up. So we were supposed to haul sand one day with a truck. So we went out to the gravel pit, sand pit, and here they had an ice storm. And they had all these old no cabs on the open loader. Here the loader was way down in there. And I was standing on that. What are we supposed to do here? Wait? Well, they didn't know. But in the meantime, these two guys started wrestling. And it fell over and fell on my leg and ankle was off. So I drove back, I don't know, I think 15 miles of one leg. And when I got to the hospital, they had to cut the laces off with a knife. It was so swollen already. Then I was had a cast on for 6 weeks. But they had to fly me down to, this was in Japan yet, way down south on Canada War. And they put us in a plane, I don't know, a big plane, and they had it fixed up for
patients.
And here we ran into a storm and flying down south, and there was a Catholic priest on there. I never heard anybody pray like he did. He thought, sure, we were going to go down, but we made it. Then I was there 6 weeks, and came back, and then pretty soon we went to Korea then. I got to Korea about 1952 in January. And then the first job we had trucking, I don't know if you're interested at all, and the first job that we had trucking was hauling logs for the bunkers. Korea, I was in 45th Division Quartermaster in the 45th Division, which actually was the Oklahoma National Guard. How did I get in the National Guard? I was in right away from the beginning, and the National Guard was only at half strength. So they drafted us guys to fill it up. They needed 20,000 men. And that's what we did then. So let's see, how did that work? We hauled logs, and we had to go a mountain 7 miles up, 7 miles down on the other side. And we had what they called Korean Service Corps. Those were South Korean guys that were not fit for service. They were too old or ready. So these poor guys had the engineers cut the logs with mechanical equipment, but these poor guys had to carry them logs out and put them on truck. We just only drove the truck. So when we went back with the logs over to the front lines, like I said, it was so icy too, up on top of the hill, you had to back up to make that corner. It was, and one guy couldn't hold and left the truck go with the load, but he jumped off. But anyway, Then every 150 feet there was a bunker, and these were always covered in a 50-caliber machine gun. But there was not an inch of ground in our area that was not covered by a machine gun. And then after that, with food, you know, even clothing was all quartermaster job. And then, well, then on the, I went to Korea in January of 52, and June 5th of 52, we were in a valley like this, and our trucks were down there for the reason that the planes could not get down into the bomb. So one more, and actually I should, one way of shame that I had it made. We had food, slept in tents, and we had heat, quartermaster, well, we had some fuel. And but this was in June 5th, actually the day my brother got married here. The night before, we had a heck of a rainstorm, and I was in the tent, and the water came down the mountain, and just all we could, only clothes we could take off was boots. I had to keep ready to, and sleep with the rifle. Just when I'm taking my boots off, here comes a rat. Whether it was dead or alive, I still don't know, but washed over the boot. Didn't think nothing. The next morning, when it was breakfast time, we went to eat breakfast, and I got to the mess and I collapsed, and I had hemorrhagic fever. I was in the hospital with that for 12 weeks. I spent most of the time, first the guy in back of me, we were good friends, and he's still living in Texas, but he knew what was going on, I collapsed and everything. Then they called, like, you ever watch MASH? That episode was in there. They called it Jeep and put me on a Jeep with a stretcher. They took me to the helicopter, and I remember a little bit of that. It was a little bitty one for two people, and they were on the outside on stretcher. And I heard them say, well, we got to have a weight for the other side, me on one side. And that I remember. Then they took off for the hospital at Weijanbu, which is a French name, that's why, in Korea. And the doctor was standing there waiting. He said, if you don't do what we say, you're going home in a box. And this was the thing that was killing the guys. When you feed a rat poison, they will not die unless they had water.
There's certain poison.
Temperature 106, 107. So did the other guys that had it. That they would beg for water, and that's what was killing them. Finally, they found out that's what I was doing, and so then the guys would beg for water to brush their teeth, and you know, they put something in the water. You could not swallow it if you got paid to do it, and that's what saved me, I think. And both guys on beds and boats, said me, they finally went crazy. They jumped out of bed where I couldn't even walk. You just went crazy.
Yeah, but that's...
Jumped out of bed, went across a water-filled dish full of barbed wire and died there.
That's what...
And then they had a teacher. I couldn't walk or anything. I lost 64 pounds in 8 days. You know, that was almost impossible, but I know I did it. I saw it on the record. So they had to teach me two guys to hold me up, to learn to walk. Then finally we moved out of the time, went to Seoul, to a big building. I don't know, the thing must have been, the steps was at least 12 steps up real wide. It was a big flat building. And there was four of those guys that had the same. But just, if they only got one drop of urine or one drop of blood a day, they were happy. That's the only way they knew you were still there.
That's how they could determine that they were...
It was rough, but I don't remember a lot of it. Then one day, Jeep comes along. He said, you're going home. You were okay. So he took me back to where I first got sick. The 1st Cavalry was then in the 4th if quartermaster space. Quartermaster of Oklahoma went down south to recuperate. And he said, "You're going home." So he took me there, and then the first sergeant said, "What in the hell are you doing here?" I said, "I don't know, you tell me." I said, "I'm supposed to be going home." I told him. He said, "Well, you're going home." That same day, they put me on a ship to
Washington.
Korea, to Japan.
Oh.
And the next day on the ship from Japan south, went to Hawaii Islands, because we had 20 caskets on of guys that were killed in Korea. And from there, we took off and got to Seattle, Washington on Labor Day. And the port master would not pull the ship in, it was a holiday. So we sat out there a mile out on the ship overnight. Of course, the next morning he said, "A dirty name, why are you sitting out there? Let's get going." So we took back. Finally, the port master pulled the ship in. We got off, and I got on a train, so did other guys, and went to Camp Carson, Colorado. And I was there 10 days. I still say they didn't, most of them didn't know I was even there. Even on the ship, I didn't have to do a thing coming back home. As far as I know, I was the only guy from 40th 50th Division on that ship come back. Anyway, it took us to Fort Carson, Colorado, and I was there 10 days. Finally, one day, I met up with a priest, chaplain, and I said, what am I doing here anyway? And I explained to him. And he said, "Well, there's got to be something wrong." So it took about an hour, and my name was over a whole Camp Carson report. You know what they did? The x-rays they took when I first got sick and when I left had spots on the x-rays. And they thought those spots were on my lungs. Actually, they were only on the film. So I arrived, then I left Camp Carson and went to, I think I took the plane to Chicago. Chicago on the train, and I called up my brother-in-law. He came to Milwaukee, got me, and then I came home. And I was home a week, and then these two women are there, take this farm. Story of my life, I'm done. We're here.